Why, hello there. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman, and I'm back with a brand new season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast. On my podcast, I am talking about everything. Politics? Yeah, we get into it. Favorite sandwich shop in L.A.? I know a few spots, and I'm going to tell you about them. I'm also going to be talking to you. I will be reacting and responding to listener voicemails in real time. Let me tell you, things can get weird, and I love every second of it. Weird is my comfort zone. The newest season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you curious about what drives our buying decisions? Tune in to Add to Cart, where Suchin Pak and Kulap Vilaysack reveal the deeper layers behind our purchases. From the whimsical to the serious, they explore it all. Whether it's a debate over a quirky swimsuit or a deep dive into a new life philosophy, they've got you covered with their hilarious and subversive takes. Don't miss out. Add to Cart from Lemonada Media has new episodes every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts.
Futuro. Futuro investigates.
Futuro.
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 Investiga.
Óyeme, aquí está la botellita, mira. Okay, here we go. We have got to start this episode like this.
Yeah, I really need tequila now.
Ay, ¿sí lo llené? Give me the other one. Okay, here we go. Salud.
Salud.
Because this is how, dear listener, crazy the beginning of our week with Garcia Luna was. Just take a listen.
Well, it's 5:11 in the morning, and guess who overslept on the most important day of the trial?
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be Penny Lay. It happens. We're human. So we're on our way to the trial, and we just heard that 10 people have been out in front of the court since 4 o'clock in the morning. So we are very upset because now there's a good chance we're going to be in the overflow room, which is fine. We'll hear everything, but we won't be able to see. So we are speeding to court.
Dear listener, I'm Maria Hinojosa, y la verdad, it really has felt so dramatic, so overwhelming, totally telenovela meets true crime.
Yeah, we are getting closer to the end of the trial against Genaro García Luna. And as you can hear, this case has been mentally drowning for all of us.
Draining.
Mentally what?
Draining.
Okay.
Oh, but also drowning. So kind of, okay.
Well, really difficult. So in this episode, we'll tell you about the last prosecution witness and the not so clean story between García Luna and the DEA.
Dear listener, welcome back. This is episode 9 of our series, USA versus García Luna. Cue the music. As you know, we are super proud of the reporting that we've been doing on this podcast. And so we are bringing you a clip from the very first episode of our series because it's related to what's going on.
In November of 2018, something really crucial happened in the story of Genaro García Luna. He was mentioned in the trial of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman here in New York City.
In his testimony, the former cartel accountant said he personally delivered bribes to Mexico's former federal security chief.
So for years, people in Mexico and in the U.S. have been suspicious of García Luna. But in that moment, during the trial, a leader of the Sinaloa cartel testified under oath that the cartel has paid millions of dollars in bribes to García Luna himself in exchange for his help in smuggling drugs into the United States.
So you have this witness who's from the Sinaloa cartel. He's on the stand and he is saying, García Luna, oh yeah, he was working for the Mexican government. He was a government official. But he was also working for El Chapo.
We met that witness in court this week, Maria, and he was Jesús Zambada, a.k.a. El Rey, or the King.
Which means, of course, dear listener, it's time for another apodo, another nickname. So tell us, Penny Lane, because you know this guy inside and out. Who is El Rey Zambada?
Well, Zambada was a top boss in the Sinaloa cartel. He is the brother of El Mayo Zambada, one of the top leaders of the cartels. He was arrested in Mexico City in 2008. He was accused of smuggling cocaine mainly through the Mexico City airport, and he was extradited to the United States 4 years later. After he testified against El Chapo and he declared himself guilty, he paid $3 million and boom, he's free.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And by the way, I think one of the things that the jury is going to take away was just hearing the sums of dollars that were being transferred around. That's quite shocking.
El Rey, or the King, is one of the top witnesses of this case. What was your impression about him?
I found him to be eminently credible. I found him to be pleasant to listen to. So not threatening.
He was wearing a suit.
Yeah, very presentable. Now, I think the other thing that's important about having him there is that it gives the jury a view of, wow, so this was a leader in the cartel de Sinaloa, and he looks like my uncle.
Some of the things that we learned listening to Zambada is that he was sort of the accountant of the cartel. So he was a business guy. And he explained with a lot of detail how the daily operations of the cartel were conducted. First, he personally delivered the money to Garcia Luna, according to his testimony, of course. Second, he said that he had total control of the Mexico City's airport. And he described with a lot of detail how the federal police, when Garcia Luna was leading it, they were the people unloading the cargo planes, unloading the suitcases with all the cocaine coming from Colombia. And these police officers were putting the cocaine in patrol cars and delivering it to the Sinaloa cartel. So it was like deliveristas for the cartel.
I love that. Delivery people. Okay.
Yeah, but you have the federal police, again, partly financed with money from the Merida Initiative and the U.S. government and U.S. taxpayers, delivering the cocaine for the Sinaloa cartel. Thank you so much.
Now, dear listener, there was a lot of seriousness that happened in court this week, but also there were some laughs.
So you will remember, dear listener, about El Gato Perico, the Perico cat. In our previous episode, we talked about this white, beautiful cat that El Conejo, or the bunny, had.
Apparently it's a Persian cat.
Well, when El Conejo's house was raided in Mexico City, and all those animals that we talked about in the previous episode were
the hippopotamus, the white tiger, the lion.
When all they were filmed, El Perico, the cat, wasn't there. And now we understood why.
Because the cat had been delivered to El Rey, and it was now his cat. I mean, seriously, dear listener, telenovela? Sí. What a week. Well, something else big happened.
So we are outside of the courthouse on a very long day. What's the wrap-up?
Well, today we learned who was the only witness for the defense, and that was Cristina Pereira, Garcia Luna's wife.
For me, the big takeaway is that, you know, she was talking a lot about buying houses, selling houses, getting a business, selling a business. And I think all of it kind of gets jumbled up in the jurors. And they're just like, wow, you guys were not just public servants. Something else was going on.
Yeah, so we will tell you everything about Cristina in our next episode. But for now, we can tell you this is almost done.
By the way, we did get a chance to hear Genaro Garcia Luna's voice because he did, in fact, say, yes, sir, to the judge. Do you understand that you're making the decision to not testify? And he said, yes, sir. And we were like,
sí, señor. Sí, señor.
You remember that from a previous episode, obviously.
So, Maria, after all this time, all these weeks, we never saw any recordings. We never saw any videos. We never saw any actual evidence beyond the witnesses, right?
Right. There's no physical evidence, no smoking gun, as it were, which is difficult in a prosecution case.
But this is an investigative podcast, so we managed to have a confidential source who talked to us and told us that the DEA actually did have recordings of Garcia Luna.
So we're going to go now to this really important interview you did, Penny.
When we come back.
No te vayas.
If you like this show, then you should definitely check out In the Blood, hosted by actor Ben McKenzie. The chilling story centers around Ronald Trimboli, a man convicted of a Texas triple murder he insists he did not commit. He had an alibi, no history of violence, and it seemed almost impossible to imagine the crime could have been committed by just one man. But Ronald Trimboli's DNA test, performed in the infancy of DNA testing in the 1980s, was a match. Is it possible he was innocent of the Texas triple murder he was convicted of? In the Blood presents all of the evidence, including evidence jurors were not privy to, and asks you, the audience, for your verdict. The crime took place in Texas in 1985, but it echoed across decades through multiple trials, a DNA retest, and the discovery of new evidence all the way to modern times. Was Ronald Trimboli a terrifying murderer of three teenagers, or the victim of an incredible string of bad luck and his own tendency to talk himself into trouble? Listen to In the Blood to explore the evidence and decide for yourself. And don't miss the trailer at the end of this episode. You won't want to miss a single detail. Check out In the Blood wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Dear listener, we're back with more drama from the Garcia Luna case. And, as Penny said, doing our investigative work. Entonces.
Well, Maria, now I want to go back to December 9 of 2019, the day when Genaro Garcia Luna was arrested in Texas.
Garcia Luna was one of the most powerful men in Mexico. Yesterday, he was arrested here in Dallas on charges of drug trafficking conspiracy.
This is Genaro Garcia Luna. He's accused of accepting millions of dollars in bribes, all in exchange for providing protection to drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman and his cartel.
Yes, his arrest was 1 year after he was mentioned in the trial of El Chapo Guzman. And that's when, of course, El Rey said that he had given Garcia Luna millions of dollars in bribes.
So in December 2019, five DEA officers come and arrest Garcia Luna. But then you remember what happened, Maria?
Yeah, they have this major case at the DEA, which like in a huge building with all kinds of technical possibilities, but they have nothing to record. I mean, seriously?
Yeah, we as journalists will say, just get your phone and record with your own phone or do something. They said, oh, we tried for several minutes to make it work, but we couldn't. So Garcia Luna agreed to be interviewed with our tape recorder. And then without even a lawyer present, they just went ahead and interviewed him. The DEA supervisor said in court that Garcia Luna allowed the agents to get into his cell phone, his computer. I want to share with you, dear listener, an exclusive interview with a news source who told me about secret recordings in the DEA's possession that allegedly include conversations between Garcia Luna and the narco lord Arturo Beltran Leyva, but they were never presented at the trial.
Again, you got a source to talk to. Okay, what did he say?
Well, he was a high-ranking Mexican security officer during Felipe Calderón's administration, so when Garcia Luna was the Secretary of Public Security. In his position, my source dealt mainly with the FBI, the CIA, and the DEA, so he had access to sensitive information. In the past, this source and me, we have been talking off the record or for background, But now, during Garcia Luna's trial, we have been analyzing all the information that he thinks is important, but the prosecutors have omitted. This is the first time he spoke to me on the record, but he wanted to remain anonymous and didn't want us to use his voice. So our producer, Juan Diego Ramírez, is voicing what he said to me.
Siempre hubo evidencias circunstanciales y versiones de testigos, pero muy pocas veces.
So basically, he's saying that there was always circumstantial evidence and testimony from witnesses about Garcia Luna and a possible relationship he had with the cartels. But unfortunately, this just wasn't enough to stand in court.
Exactly. And then, during a visit to a DEA facility in the U.S. with other Mexican officers, he said that he listened to some tapes.
Las grabaciones eran, en general, llamadas telefónicas que ocurrían entre...
He said that he was told by DEA agents that the voice in those recordings was Garcia Luna's.
Refirieron al secuestro de Garcia Luna. En donde Beltrán Leyva le habría reclamado.
So he says that he heard Garcia Luna was kidnapped by the drug lord Arturo Beltrán Leyva, who was complaining to him because apparently Garcia Luna wasn't being loyal to him. So what do you do when someone's not loyal? You kidnap them. So, Penny, I mean, obviously, your next question was going to be, why didn't the prosecution present any of these recordings during the trial? I mean, it's right there. You get to hear his voice.
That was exactly my question.
Yo no sé si el gobierno de los Estados Unidos tenga esas grabaciones o no. Mi primera teoría de por qué no lo han hecho sería porque no son grabaciones que hayan hecho.
Okay. If this was an illegally taped conversation, then it's not going to be admissible in court. I get it.
At least this is what my source believes. So he said that frequently the FBI gave Garcia Luna intelligence information about rival organizations, not about the Sinaloa cartel.
Le daban información de grupos de organizaciones criminales, pues porque esas son organizaciones que eran enemigas del cartel de Sinaloa y de los Beltrán Leyva.
So they were giving him information about other cartels. So Garcia Luna will attack all the people, and then we will give information about the Sinaloa cartel to the Navy or to the military or to other members of the Mexican government. And then a DEA agent who also testified in this trial said in court that a few hours after El Grande was arrested, he met with him, and he gave the agent information about bribe payments and detailed data about how the federal police and Garcia Luna were working for the Sinaloa cartel. He added that high-ranking members of Garcia Luna's police received payments in a restaurant in Mexico City.
The Champs-Élysées, which is a very fancy Mexican restaurant in Reforma.
And that was the restaurant when, according to El Rey, Garcia Luna was receiving these payments. So this is the same information that El Grande gave to the DEA in 2010, so 13 years before this trial is happening.
So again, that raises some questions about the U.S. What did the DEA know? What did the CIA know? And what did they do with it? They allegedly just turned away.
Yes, and at least two other American witnesses in this trial have said that the U.S. believed that Garcia Luna was not particularly active against the Sinaloa cartel.
So who were those witnesses?
Well, the former ambassador in Mexico, Anthony Wayne, said that he knew that the federal police wasn't particularly active against the Sinaloa cartel. And then an FBI agent who used to be based in Mexico said that in 2012, they were ready to reapprehend El Chapo. El Chapo was on the run since 2001, and they couldn't do it because of mistakes from the federal police.
There were just some mistakes. That's why we couldn't arrest El Chapo. There's something that still baffles me. All of these people with the nicknames who testified against Garcia Luna in New York, I mean, they were all arrested first in Mexico. So why is it that Genaro Garcia Luna has never faced trial in Mexico?
Yeah, and that's something that El Rey Zambada said in court this week, and I also asked my source.
Cuando un testigo testifica en México, lo hace con mucho miedo. El gobierno mexicano no lo va a proteger y no va a obtener ningún beneficio de testificar.
Right, so your source basically says that the witnesses, they're like terribly scared of retaliation in Mexico, and they say that they know that once they're extradited here to the United States, that that's when they can speak.
Yes, and many of the witnesses in this trial are convicted criminals who have testified against García Luna seeking a legal immigration status or a reduced sentence in the U.S. And that's part of our question, Maria. Who holds the U.S. accountable of making all these deals with all these people, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, dear listener, it's fascinating, and we are so happy that you continue to listen to us, and there's going to be more.
Yeah, next week we will have closing arguments, and we might have a verdict.
And sabes que, dear listener, if you get curious and you want more follow-up, just follow our Twitter page at Futuro Investigates, or me and Penny. We're having a good time on social media. See you there. Until next week.
Salud.
Salud, dear listener.
USA vs. García Luna is an original production by Futuro Investigates in collaboration with Latino USA and Futuro Studios. Lemonada Media is our advertising and distribution partner. Our hosts are Maria Hinojosa and Penny Lee Ramirez, executive producers of the Futuro Unidad Hinojosa, the Investigations and Special Projects Division of Futuro Media. This episode was produced by Juan Diego Ramirez and Sofia Sanchez. The series is edited by Andrea Lopez Cruzado. Our associate producer is Roxana Aguirre. Fact-checking by Arturo Angel. Nancy Trujillo and Raul Perez are our project managers. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau, Julia Caruso, Gabriela Baez, and Leah Shah Damron. Music and scoring by Jacob Rosati. This series was made possible with the support of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, and Hispanics in Philanthropy. You can listen to the rest of USA vs. García Luna today, wherever you hear your podcast, or on our website at futuroinvestigates.org. That's futuroinvestigates.org. Visit our site to find more information on USA vs. García Luna.
Lemonada.
Feeling decision fatigue about what to make for dinner? We get it. I'm Jane Black.
And I'm Liz Dunn. We're veteran food journalists, and as parents ourselves, we know how hard it can be to feed your family.
That's why we created Pressure Cooker, a podcast that offers practical strategies for navigating the marketing madness and cultural expectations around mealtime.
Each week, we'll check in with the experts. From social media diet trends to baby-led weaning and AI meal planning, we have all your food-related questions covered.
Listen to Pressure Cooker wherever you get your podcasts.
Think about a moment in your life that changed you, where one day you were yourself, and then the next day, poof, you weren't. I'm Stephanie Wittles-Wax, host of the show Last Day, and each week I sit down with a new guest to explore happy, sad stories of transformation. Some last days are hopeful, some are tragic, but on the other side of every last day is a fresh start. Come laugh cry with us. Listen to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.